Health Headlines with Dr. Barry Dworkin is presented by the Riverstone Retirement Communities of Oak Park and Bridalwood Trails, your complete continuum of care.
Coming up to 6:52 at 580 CFRA, we're joined by Dr. Barry Dworkin. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
I've been intrigued by the number of stories that have appeared in the Toronto Star in the last few days on the issue of bed bugs. There was, first of all, this bizarre story which apparently resulted from somebody tweeting about getting itchy after going to the Toronto International Film Festival, and it turned out to be a bogus story that there were bed bugs infesting the seats at a particular theater. But there actually is going to be a bed bug summit in Toronto later this month, with featuring Toronto Community Housing, Landlord Associations, tenant groups, and people from the pest control industry. And there are also people raising concerns now about what happens if you buy secondhand clothing or other used items that might have bed bugs in them. How big a problem is this?
Well, with regards to bed bugs are pretty much everywhere. I mean, you can't get away from them. You can certainly control them in your home. But let's face it, these are tiny, flat, reddish type of bugs, about 3 to 5 millimeters in size. They hide during the day. They come out at night and literally bite you to take some blood out of your body, usually staying in areas that are, when you're still or sleeping, they're attracted by carbon dioxide to land upon you, and they will infest everything. They get into cracks. They get into furniture, bed frames, cushions, mattresses, the folds of curtains, behind loose wallpaper, baseboards. They get into the house through cracks in the house.
This isn't very comforting so far, Barry.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a nice little invasion.
I'm not feeling very reassured.
They're small and wingless, so they don't fly. But the thing about bed bugs is that although it gives people the creepy crawlies, and you really are not looking forward to having bed bugs in your home, they don't carry disease. They're not vectors for disease. You're not going to catch anything off of them. What they will do is they'll cause small bites on the skin that can, for some people, have no symptoms. They don't really react to them. And for others, in about 5 to 10 minutes after a bed bug takes what's known as a blood meal, they will get a bit itchy on the skin. The bite itself is a little raised area with a small central red dot on it, which is the blood that they took out. And usually you'll see a series of bites in a row on the skin, so a whole bunch of bumps sort of clustered together. And the primary target for these bites is going to be on the face, neck, arms, and hands, and the bite is generally painless. So this is a pest in itself, but it's not something that's going to cause major disease. You can catch these things, and, you know, it's one of those things where you go, well, watch out on every corner now because, you know, you may get a bed bug. But public transportation is one. People will carry bed bugs in their clothes. And so they'll go anywhere where there's cracks or crevices, so bus, on the seats on the bus, anywhere. So what are you going to say about this? Well, you can have summits, you can have conferences, you can have all kinds of things to talk about it. And the pest control centers obviously are going to like this because to fumigate or de-infestate or get rid of it, you need a professional to be able to do that in your home. But really, other than that, you know, what else can you say about it?
It doesn't cause a lot of harm, right?
So no,
you can become really diligent about trying to get rid of them, but there's probably a good chance they'll come back anyway, and they don't cause a lot of damage.
Well, that's it. And if you're going to buy, and as one of the stories was, if you're going to go to a secondhand clothes store or you're looking to buy furniture, secondhand furniture, you know, for the furniture, you may have a tough time killing off the bed bugs. You can't throw furniture in your dryer. But for clothes, you can wash them and put them in the hottest setting in a dryer, let it run for a while. That'll kill them. Putting them outside, if it's wintertime, if you have clothes that you think are infested, below 0 degrees for a few days is going to kill them, so a few hours. So, I mean, there are ways to kill them off, but the thing is, there are billions and billions of these guys everywhere, if not trillions, and really, you're not going to get rid of them off the face of this planet. They will find a way to get where they want to go. So the main thing is, if you see them in your home, you can get someone to get rid of them for you, but really, they don't cause disease. I know it gives someone heebie-jeebies about it, but
is that a medical term, by the way? Heebie-jeebies?
The heebie-jeebies?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good medical term, the heebie-jeebies.
Now, before we let you go, I wanted there is a story in The Citizen this morning about how nine of the hospitals in Eastern Ontario are now going to be able to share things faster electronically. I know this is something you've spoken about before, how we need to make more progress on this so that we can get information around electronically.
Right. This is for paper-based records of X-rays, CT scans, MRIs, ultrasounds, and PET scans, and it's an electronic database that replaces that. The digital imaging portion of this is called the PAC system in the hospitals, and the hospitals share similar database structure so they can share this information. This information is also available to physicians in the community who have access to the hospital, who can log in through the internet. There's a series of checkpoints and gates to get through. So it's certainly, you know, it's always better to have a similar database and similar operating system so that you can share this information. If someone is in one hospital and they need to get information from another hospital, they've suffered an injury, or they have an ongoing chronic problem and they want to check and see what's happened in the past, you can then refer to this and see if any changes have occurred without having to repeat a lot of the information or repeat the testing.
Right.
Similar things are going on in the city from independent X-ray places and ultrasound places where I know for our office, what we're going to try and do is link into one of them, one of the ultrasound places, so that we can actually download the information right into our patient's own electronic record and have that as part of a permanent record as well. So really good movement forward in terms of sharing information.
All right, Barry, have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too, Mark.